Does it matter that Jordan Pickford has short arms? Does it matter that those Denmark defenders didn't really touch Sterling's legs? And does it matter that someone shone a laser in Schmeichel's face? No, it does not matter. This is In Airplane Repair. You're listening to In Airplane Repair, the most uncensored, unedited, and unbelievably excited pod ever in the history of pods. Joining me today to discuss football coming home, he spent more hours contemplating the insides of Kyle Walker's head than anybody else. Psychology expert Jasper Kawaja is here. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I know Kyle Walker's brain very well by now, yeah. Uh-huh. All the inner workings are now in my head. In fact, it's quite a lot to take on because there's quite a lot going on.
And he can detect all the emotion in the slightest eyebrow raise of Gareth Southgate. Emotional expert Otto underscore Wolf is present.
Hi.
Enthusiastic as always. Some say he was the inspiration for Phil Foden's Euro 2020 haircut. Luke Stamper is here. Welcome.
Not so sure about that, but it's wonderful to be here as always, especially with football making its way home as we speak.
And he's such a big England fan that he would quite happily snatch an England shirt from the arms of a young child who had recently received that shirt from Mason Mount. At the J Doggy Dog is here. Welcome.
Nice. That was a nice specific intro. I actually looked to buy a t-shirt and they're all sold out. So I think had I had the opportunity, I would have taken it straight out of her arms.
They're going to cost so much on eBay after this, aren't they?
I think they'll just make more though, won't they?
Maybe, yeah.
I could get a Maguire 3 XL.
Otto, let's just jump in with your emotional reaction straight away to England being in their first final for 55 years.
Emotional reaction was joy, relief, patriotism.
An interesting emotion. Can you describe that one in more depth?
Yeah, it's kind of like two World Wars, one World Cup.
Okay, yeah.
One Euros.
And yeah, I just didn't want to go to work.
Did you? What?
Did you go to work?
No, I was actually on holiday that week.
Oh. Well, was actually quite a nervy first half. I felt the parts of the game where you thought Denmark were finding quite a lot of space in the pockets.
Yeah, I'd say that was there were about 15 minutes, I'd say, in the first half, in the middle of the first half, which was the only time the game we weren't really in control. And they were finding quite a lot of space and keeping the ball. And yeah, it looked like they could create quite a few chances. And then once that kind of went, and once we got the goal back, then it was very dominant, although nervy still.
Yeah, but there was a little 15. Yeah, go on.
Oh, so Pickford was a bit of a liability. Did you realise
he was awful in those 15 minutes. I was listening back to our last pod actually yesterday, and in it, Johnny, you were talking about Pickford saying how he had been slowing the game down, and I just thought in that last game he didn't do that at all. You know, when he rolled it straight to their player, he did some bad kicking, like under no pressure.
I almost think he's lost, you know, when he sliced the kick against Ukraine.
Yeah, he had bad his last 10 minutes, didn't he?
Basically, he hasn't really recovered from that. And then each mistake just makes it worse.
Yeah, genuinely, I agree.
Johnny, I was going to ask you, Johnny, about the free kick. Could he have saved it? Should he have saved it?
Oh, should he have saved it? I think when I saw it live, when you see it at normal speed, it doesn't look like he could. But
it was a good free kick. It was a good free kick.
It's a good free kick. But then again, if you... it did seem to hit only just past the middle of the goal.
I kind of feel like Pickford would have never saved that, but a world-class keeper could have saved that.
If he'd saved
Pickford,
it,
like, it's never going to be that good.
Yeah, it would have been an amazing save, but it probably was savable.
Luke, was Harry Kane wrong when he said he was going to peak against Germany?
This is a difficult question because I don't really remember how he played in that game.
Not very good.
Yes, he was wrong. He was. Well, to be honest, he was a bit frustrating for a bunch of this game because he sort of kept not really doing that much of it. But then when he was needed, he was good at getting a foul and buying a bit of time.
He got an assist, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, it was very nice. That was very nice, actually.
I thought it was quite a Spursy Kane performance. I thought it was classic Kane. He made some very good passes.
Won a lot of free kicks.
Kane's very good at, like, calculating a situation, realising he doesn't have the skill or the agility to get out the situation and then just getting a foul.
You say that, but also, like, Grealish does do a similar thing. When they're completely stuck in a situation, they'll just get their body in front of that player and then win a free kick.
Yeah, but Kane's stuck, like, a lot more often than Grealish, I think, because he's just a bit shit on the ball. He's really
He does also do... He's a number nine and he drops deep. I think, let's give him some credit.
He's never going to go past a load of people, but he's good enough to sort of get in. Like, I think you have to be not too shit on the ball.
There was that moment in extra time when he sort of had the ball on the right and he was kind of took on two men, won a foul that probably wasn't really a foul. That's what he does best.
I thought he did quite well. And playing in, because he normally just plays in Son quite well. Now he's got Sterling and Saka, the pacey guys, give the ball in around the back.
So is there more to come from Harry Kane? 4 goals. Can he get golden boot, Johnny?
No doubt. Definitely. 100%.
He needs 2 in the final.
Well, particularly as a penalty kick taker and the amount of running into the box and
falling over. But he hasn't scored any penalties this tournament.
Good point.
Should we talk about the penalty? Luke, you've played the game at the highest level. I imagine you've been in situations like that, running into the box, tackles coming in left, right and centre. Sterling said in the interview afterwards, he touched my leg, it was a foul. Was it a foul?
Well, he may have touched his leg. So
yeah.
Sterling's probably not a liar at that point. To be honest, it was actually quite hard to. There were no conclusive angles as to how much his leg was touched, but it didn't look like his leg was touched that much. Then there's the question of, did the other guy hit him? But was he already going down by the time the other guy hit him? So that's all the things to consider.
And I'll pass. The ref was just a bit shit, wasn't he?
He made a lot of bad decisions, I think.
Because, like, the free kick wasn't a free kick either, really,
I don't think either of them were. Because they had, like, 2 in a row.
I think that French newspaper, L'Equipe, you know how they always do ratings for the players? They gave the referee a 3, and I think I agree with that. I think the referee was just a bit shit.
So do we, as, you know, purely objective players here, was it or was it not a penalty?
I don't think it's an important question, really.
Yeah, I don't either. The penalty was given, Harry Kane scored it.
Yeah, we're not...
Well,
we're not
he didn't actually score it.
Yeah, he calculated that. He didn't want to go down.
It looked like he was stat padding with penalties.
Yeah, so exactly.
Open play.
Jasper, if I shone a laser into your eyes, would it affect your ability to perform on this pod?
Well, there's only one way to find out. It would not. Lasers do not do anything. to me anyway.
Because if anything, he saved it too well. So,
maybe
that's actually a good point. I didn't think about the fact that he saved it because they obviously weren't shooting a laser in his eyes for the rebound, were they? So, I guess actually he's got nothing to complain about.
He did say it didn't affect the penalty. I think he was just complaining about it in general because I think they were doing it quite a lot.
But he had a bloody good game.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an argument that the laser actually enhances his performance.
Power
laser enhanced performance.
Make the argument.
He had a really good game and he had a laser on him all game. correlation equals causation.
I thought he tried to catch it, and if he just sort of parried it away, he would have saved. I don't know. I thought he saved it too well.
But yeah, I guess it was hard to push it away because he'd like almost dived past it.
It was that shit of a pen.
The penalty was too shit.
Probably the right idea to try and catch it, but.
Just how good is Raheem Sterling?
He's incredible. He carrying the expectations and weight of a nation on his shoulders, and he's carrying it so well with his bum sticking out and his hand flapping at his side. And I just think, you know, how many people are going to be reading his long read on the Players' Tribune and just shedding a tear after every football match, because his mum does indeed now run a nursing home.
Have you ever seen a performance better than that in an England shirt, Johnny?
Probably not that I can remember, I guess. Not in a big competition. Because, you know, I saw Peter Crouch hat-trick against Jamaica. That was fully equipped with the robot.
Because Grealish was really shit when he came on, so Sterling had to continue. Once the sub was made and Saka came off, Sterling had even more work to do because Grealish was a bit shit.
Yeah, I think that's when you saw it was amazing. I mean, he's still running like that in the 110th minute and whatever. That's just crazy.
He did look incredibly fit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Have you seen that young Phil Foden's now doubt for the final?
He missed training today.
Young Phil Foden.
What's wrong with young Phil Foden?
Just a fit injury.
Fairly minor fit injury. Luke, what does a manager have to have in order to, you know, sub a sub and make such a big call like that in a semi-final?
They've got to have
spare subs left, I guess.
They've got a lot of subs in this tournament, so he was fine with that, with us. They've got to have belief in what they're doing.
And so true. So
just
true.
A moderate disrespect for Jack Grealish, I think. I think all those things he clearly has in abundance, and because he wasn't going to take off anyone else, really, was he? So you can't take off Sterling.
No.
And Foden had only been on 10 minutes or something.
Do something crazy like take off England captain Harry Kane.
No,
also, Foden's better at defending than Foden, puts a bit more into the pressure and stuff than them.
And he wasn't going to take off one of his more defensive players at that point. So
did he have to take off anyone?
Well, yeah, I mean, bringing on Trippier, you know, how do you feel about that?
Did work quite well.
He matched them, didn't he, with the five?
The thing is, Denmark looked completely exhausted by then, so it seemed like anything would have won.
Yeah.
But we were very dominant for the rest of the game, so I guess it worked.
Because it meant that Shaw, a lot of our attacks ended up, we were holding the ball high up the pitch with Shaw and Trippier.
Yeah.
So it did waste a lot of time, so it was quite good.
It didn't feel very England-like.
Oh, and I was just saying, you know, there's that few minutes where he just kept the ball for ages, and Sterling ended up with a Sterling chance. That would have been one of the greatest goals ever.
Well, I thought, yeah.
Puskás Award.
Yeah, for the nearly goal.
Yeah, I feel like I have to argue against one of the greatest goalies ever.
You want to add up the passes, though. I mean, yeah. If in purely pass number sense.
Greatest goal ever.
Just, I actually felt quite weird watching that. Like, it was sort of uncharted territory for England. I was quite scared of what was going on.
Well, would you prefer?
Yeah, but
it should have been just hoofing it up the pitch, getting in shape.
Well, because you know, we sat back
against Stuart Downing to Andy Carroll.
We sat back a little bit when the goal went in, and I was thinking, God, it's going to be like this now for the next 15 minutes. And it wasn't, which is that good? Is that bad?
No, definitely good.
Well, yeah, I guess it
Why
is.
Why would that ever be bad?
Change. Well, because it changed.
England is never good, I'll
tell you. I support England for traditional values. And my values are that when you're ahead, you defend.
Because they had so many tall players. as someone who's coached a team, Jasper, what does it give a team with players taller than trees?
Good aerial ability, a threat from corners, hacking, and...
Hacking? What's hacking?
Attacking corners.
Oh, attacking corners.
And it benefits you defensively from corners. And the long ball. They're the main benefits.
Did you see that in the Denmark side?
No, they were like we were saying, they were shattered. I think they would have liked England to have dropped off, done a couple of passes, and kept lumping the ball into the box. But I think it was, yeah, it seemed quite clear watching it, didn't it, that they just had nothing left. So it was the right thing to just try and keep the ball and play it out. Potentially, if you were against fitter team, Spain, or if in Italy in the final, if you're one up those last few minutes, let's face it, it's going to be sit back and
it kind of feels like, because they scored so early, their game plan just became defend for the rest of the game, and then once we scored, it was just kind of like get to extra time, and they were just like running after us for the whole game, so they were knackered by the end.
Yeah, because they were also wasting time like throughout the extra time and a bit before the end.
My prediction came exactly true.
Tell us.
The reverse of Croatia. Did I not predict that?
Yeah, I think you said 3-1.
I think I predicted that in real life with the people I was watching with.
No, you did put a thing on the chat saying that, actually.
Did I say reverse of Croatia?
Yeah, you did.
Maybe
it's very, very impressive. Let's move on to Italy then. Luke, when you look at that Italian team, you look at the performances... Are you quaking in your boots? Who, if you are, what's making you quake?
Well, it's quite hard. It's quite hard to know. It's quite hard to know because they looked, and to be fair, they have been. They haven't lost in years. but then they've just got kind of quite a lot of pretty good players, you know. But then Spain like were
bloody good.
They just had the misfortune not to have had a strike on the pitch for most of the game. And then when they did put a strike on the pitch, they actually scored. But Italy did always, they looked like dangerous on the counter. They had, players who could take a chance. They got some quick players. So, yeah, that'd definitely be the hardest game.
Did you guys notice how chill Chiellini was just before the penalties? It was actually, I've never seen someone more relaxed in my life. When they were like flicking the coin to see what side to take the penalty at, he was just joking around, laughing.
I thought that was mind games.
I mean, it was mind games, but to even be able to do those mind games.
So does that, like, are you quaking at that?
That scares me a lot.
Yeah.
England are going to be so scared, and then they're going to get into the tunnel and Chiellini making like looks at them, and they're going to shit themselves.
Do you think he's number 11 on the penalty list? So he's just like... so chilled.
Yeah, maybe. Benucci's pretty early in the penalties.
was it Jordi Alba? I think I read that he like initially won the toss and then accidentally picked the end he didn't want. And then like Chiellini was pointing out that was the end with all the Italian fans.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that is what it looked like, to be fair. That was a bit confusing.
Yeah, Jordi Alba was not happy about whatever was going on.
It was just written in the stars that Morata was going to miss and then Jorginho was going to do the most chill. Has Jorginho actually just solved penalties?
No, he's missed a couple.
I know, but like, it just seems like unsavable when he does it right.
Yeah, but I think it is like really hard. It's really hard to do because you have to...
You have to switch in an instant. You have to be confident.
Yeah, you have to go up not knowing where you're going
to... Yeah, you have to be able to see where the key's going.
You've got like a plan, but the idea is, yeah, you wait.
But if the goalkeeper waits, do they just save it?
No, because if the goalkeeper waits, then they're too late.
It's almost like, because Balotelli used to do a similar thing. I think you go up and you've got like a default fit. If the keeper just stands there, you'll probably just open your foot up and put it in that corner. So you're waiting for that. And if the keeper starts moving that way, then you just change the angle of your foot like last minute.
It's mad. But the he does the jump. He does it mid-air. He's calculating all of that mid-air in the skip.
I guess it's like, because players will do finishes like that where they're waiting in a, like a one-on-one situation. But I guess it just takes a lot more like, I don't know, concentration.
Balls.
To do it for a penalty.
That's beautiful. It's honestly beautiful.
Johnny, who should start for England? You have to give me the whole team, but just who you really feel.
I suppose the big thing is whether it's the formation makes the biggest difference, I think.
Okay. But is it going to be 5-4-4?
I think now Mount is back, you want to play him. So I think you go 4 at the back. Put Mount and Saka in.
Mount has been a bit of a nothing player the last couple of games.
Yeah, but I think he is good.
Yeah, I rate him as well. But
he works very hard. He tracks back.
Yeah. I personally would like to see Henderson in, but I think he's also working well as a sub. But I think he offers a bit more of like quick transitions than Rice does. But
you can't really take them out after they've like been so...
Yeah, exactly. They're working well together.
And Henderson is almost the perfect bring him on.
Yeah,
70 minutes or something. Jasper, who have we got to keep quiet then for Italy? Who are their danger men?
There's a couple, I think. I think on one level, the Verratti, Jorginho, if they start dominating that midfield, it could just be a long, long old game. If England can't keep the ball at all and it turns into one of those old matches where we just can't ever get out and keep it. Potentially, though, the other risk is if we've got more of the ball, then Chiesa particularly is rapid. And I feel like on one hand, he'll fall short to be deeper, which Shaw's been very good going forward recently. And if he's kept deeper, he either stays back to try and defend and cover for Maguire, who would probably get outdone pace-wise, or he goes forward and there's that risk. So there's some tricky things to consider. I think, to be honest, I think Spain showed how you kind of can try and attack them. Like, don't give the centre-backs actually someone to mark. Like, Kane dropping deep will actually work quite well, I think, because with the Spanish three, they didn't know when to follow or when not to. And then, like, for the goal, Morata dropped in deep and they didn't follow him and then he could turn and go. So I think you can create chances. They're not... But they are a good team. They've got a lot of good players. So
Sterling's going to run them ragged, though, isn't he?
Yeah, because they're missing, what's his name? Spinazzola, who was very good. Whereas this other right-back seemed a bit, like, chaotic against Spain. Like, gave away quite a lot of free kicks.
Yeah, and they were having a lot of... Jordi Alba was having a lot of success, I would say.
Luke, we got the home advantage. Is that gonna come into play, or is it actually just going to be a curse?
I guess it depends whether Italy are powered by lasers or not.
Great point.
Whether the police crack down on laser possession in the ground. It probably can't hurt being at home. You know, it's been going well so far.
all of the semi-final teams had all of their home, had all of their group games at home. Like they played three group games at home.
Really?
Just there's a fact for you.
You can't argue. You can't argue with the facts, then I guess.
Well, it does make a huge difference, doesn't it?
Flying ants. Flying ants. The Guardian reports that flying ants could swarm England's Euro 2020 final at Wembley after they've been detected by the Met Office. Millions of bugs over London and the South East on Friday. Although the Met Office has forecast promising weather for Sunday, it also picked up the phenomenon potentially coinciding with the fixture and becoming a nuisance for players and fans. Otto, is that what you want to see at the final, Euro 2020? Flying ants?
Yeah, yeah. Get the Italian sets. They don't know what to hear. British ants. Laying down the problem.
Flying ants, it's only like, is it one of those things that's just like a couple of days in a year? And
that's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We used to have a flying ant infestation in my house. It went on for longer than a couple of days, I'll tell you that for nothing.
Did it impact your football performance?
Psychologically, it definitely didn't help. It was quite distracting. Having to get the Hoover out and Hoover them all up, I don't think that would be good if we're trying to focus on a European Cup final.
Mm.
Radar images released by the Met show a number of large pulsating shadows hovering over the capital, many of which are in fact insects.
What are the others?
Clouds. Wow.
You could tweet us at Violet Bundits. What have you seen hovering in the sky?
What black clouds have you seen?
With all of that in mind, who wants to simulate this final, the biggest game for five years?
The biggest simulation we've ever done.
It's yeah.
Maybe we should all have a part of the game. Yeah.
Who did the last simulation? What was the last simulation?
Well, we all did a quarter, I think.
Why don't we do first half, second half, and then dependent on the second half simulation, it might go to extra time, and then we can have an extra time simulator, and then dependent on that, we can have pens.
So we kind of want it to go away.
It's up to you. It's up to you. Johnny.
It's not up to us. It's up to what the simulation says. Johnny, what are you talking about? We don't have any choices.
Johnny, let's have your first half simulation.
It's going to be a very, very edgy first half with a couple of Pickford howler passes.
Oh, Johnny.
Squeaky bum time Pickford. Already.
Get your finger out your ass.
But then he makes a phenomenal... It makes a really good save. and then he's back. But no goals. Nothing else to really talk about. Okay. No real, periods of control for either team. You know?
Cakey.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Jasper, let's have your second half, please.
Oh. Okay.
It's magic.
68th minute. Luke Shaw brings down Chiesa in the box.
Oh,
he's had such a good tournament.
But Pickford saves the pen. Genio misses the pen, yes.
No, but he solved penalties.
Then we get some confidence. We're pressing. However, full time, 0-0.
Mid push.
I'm sorry. I wish I could bring more entertainment, but
okay. Why don't we do Luke? You could do the first half of extra time, and then I can do the second half of extra time, and then if we get to pens, who knows?
Someone could do the trophy celebration.
We'll get Henry in.
Is John Terry going to come down in full kit?
Luke, let's have your first half of extra time, please.
Yeah. Boop, boop, boop.
Luke falling asleep.
Yeah, just trying to let the simulation play out. So, I mean, Henderson's on at this point. Starts more control in the midfield. Redemption for Luke Shaw as he places the ball right on Harry Kane's head, and it's a goal. 1-0, end of the first half.
Yes.
England.
Harry. Harry Kane. Harry Kane.
Wow.
If only it was a video pod, because you'd see that something's been placed on Luke's head.
It says it's coming home.
Okay. Yeah. Is it? The second half of Extra Time, let's find out.
Is that the end of the first half? Any more, Luke?
Oh.
Yeah, that's the end of the first
half. That's the end, okay.
All right. The second half of Extra Time begins fast-paced. Italy have got all their strikers on, all their attacking. They do the thing, you know, like where straight away from the, like, what do you call it?
Kickoff?
Kickoff, that everyone's just fucking pacing it up there.
Oh,
ball comes flying in near the edge of the box. Chiellini's there to nod it down straight into the hands of Pickford, who throws it downfield. Sterling's there.
Sterling's running.
He's running. Bonucci's chasing him. Chiesa's chasing him. They're all chasing him, but they can't catch him. David Beckham in the crowds, cheering him on. Ed Sheeran next to David Beckham, arm in arm. Sterling trips on his laces untied.
Falls to the floor,
but lands head against the ball. It bounces on the ball and goes into the keeper's arms. 1-0, full time. England win!
Oh! Was that the entire 15 minutes?
Yeah, that's one run. Minute by minute there.
Wow. I'm glad we don't have to do pens.
That would have been
I think we'd definitely lose pens.
I'm getting something. Tyrone Mings is going to drop the trophy on the bus tour of London the next day. Yeah.
Oh, Tyrone Mings.
Get him out of the squad.
Mm.
And Ben White is going to get Ben White is going to get COVID, and everyone's going to have to self isolate.
Go on.
I was just going to say, what's allowed in terms of celebrations? Because, you know, they'd normally do the bus, everyone would flood onto the streets.
There were crazy scenes. Everyone's going to be flooding onto the streets anyway.
There were crazy scenes in Richmond the other day. The people on top of moving buses. Well, the buses would stop because of the streets. And
it was so good. Did you see the video of the person being wheeled away in an ambulance singing, I just don't want to go home?
We had a report last night of three kids breaking into a school, and they were singing "It's Coming Home" as they were breaking in.
Of course they were. I
was on the bus, and somebody was on the phone, I think, to their boss, and they like turned off the conversation with "It's Coming Home." Coming home.
I was just with a friend after the Ukraine match. My friend got too pissed and passed out on like the living room floor, and so then I put a blanket over him, put a pillow under his head. But as I was putting the pillow under his head, he woke up slightly and just went "England." It's infecting everyone.
Bloody hell! The tournament. Let's do your. Have you got a quiz prepared, Otto, by the way?
No, I'm also actually going to have to go in a second. Sorry. It was a very last-minute organised pod, I have to say.
Okay.
I need more warning. Please. Like a day, at least one day.
Okay, well,
honestly.
Before you go, tell us your goal of the tournament, please.
Goal of the tournament 100% has to be Benzema. If he meant it, which I think he did, then that is a goal for the ages. That's generational genius. That's the Bergkamp of our generation.
Okay. Anyone got any issues with that?
Chick.
What was that?
Oh, Chick banned it in from 50 yards. Chick. Come on.
The Czech Republic goal. Yeah, but that's a different kind of goal, isn't it?
I personally don't particularly like those sorts of goals. And like they are really good.
Oh, come on, you love that Wayne Rooney.
That was a good one, though.
No, they are good, but it's like, they're not as good. There's just a bit like, oh, it's amazing, it's so far away. It's like,
I feel like you see the halfway goal maybe once a season. You see a goal like that, which Benzema scored. You never see that.
Once a lifetime.
I never will see that.
I prefer that sort of goal. I have to say, but anyway,
I think there would have been an obvious winner if England had scored against Denmark. Obviously, that long passing move at the end.
Then it wouldn't
would have been the best goal ever. Yeah.
Everyone was talking about it.
Let's have your player of the tournament, please.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Sterling is pretty good, isn't he? But to be honest, I've been. I don't know if it's not reasonable, but Luke Shaw has been pretty unbelievable. Defense and attack. Absolutely.
Luke, he's going to give a penalty away in the final.
Yeah, I know. And even so, it's all forgiven when it gets saved.
And goodbye to Arthur _ Wolf.
Thank you and goodbye. It's coming home.
It's coming home.
I love you all.
Love you all. Well, I just love Otto, actually. Luke, sorry, what were you saying?
And I guess there's probably a bunch of Italian players who've been pretty good. But
it's hard to call it before the final, to be fair.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a post-final.
Oh, final. Okay.
But a pre-final, you could still have a pre-final player of the tournament, I guess.
Yeah. I'd say Sterling so far.
Johnny, what's your flop of the tournament? Doesn't have to be, it could be anything.
Got to be Mbappe's final penalty, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty beautiful.
Jasper, aside from the obvious choice of Gareth Southgate, who's been your manager of the tournament? I mean, if you want to just say Gareth Southgate, I don't mind.
Other than Southgate, I'd say... Well, Mancini has done a good job as well with this Italy team. I also thought Luis Enrique did well with that Spanish team because going into it, I didn't think they were that good on paper. The Swiss manager, the Danish manager.
The Danish manager. Think about what that
Danish
team
manager,
through.
Yeah.
Luke, who's your referee of the tournament?
Not that guy from the England-Denmark game. I'll tell you that much. Who it is? It's hard to say. There's only a few referees. I feel like there's a few referees who just referee everything.
The final is that Bjorn Kuipers guy. He's pretty good. The Dutch guy.
Wait, is he? What does he look like? Has he got hair?
If Google him, you'll
gelled hair.
I like that
grey hair.
Like the German guy.
I was going to say the German guy.
Felix Brick.
Yeah, he's good. I think.
Yeah, he is good. What's your general opinion on how this cross-country tournament has gone with no host?
I don't like it, personally. Because I just think it seems to... Obviously, normally a host country is advantaged. This seems to make quite a few countries advantaged, but then the others massively disadvantaged because... They're just in a group with one team that's home for all of the games while they're travelling all about. That thing you were saying about them all being at home and then getting so far.
And why does it have to be in Baku? You know?
Well, that makes it a lot worse. And like they picked Seville as well for Spain. It could have made it a bit closer.
They go as well because it's not just you're not away from home. It's you're playing away from home and you've had to... travel all the way across Europe between.
Yeah.
Like it would actually be better if they just
did it. Also, I think if you get a host.
I was going to say, if they did it all in Azerbaijan, that would be better, wouldn't it, really? There'd be no problem with that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Well, it's just, who was that Arsenal player who couldn't go to Azerbaijan? Because he thought he was going to get arrested or something like that.
Oh, aren't they quite horrible there?
Yeah. But in general, I think in a country also gives it more of a. Just like a common feeling as well.
More of a feel. Yeah. And it seems a bit odd doing it in a pandemic as well, all over the continent. But
well, I guess it would have felt weird.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Any gossip?
Luke's going to be watching the game with an Italian.
Oh yeah. What's your strategy, Luke?
Boo the national anthem, I suppose.
Are you going to take the knee?
I'm a pretty mellow football fan in general, you know.
Even in England?
even in England, so yeah, I just sort of sit there and watch the football happen. So that'd probably be my go-to method. You know, I'll see, maybe passion will take over and I'll hurl abuse.
Might boo the anthem instinctively.
That happens, it happens, you know. What's the Italian national anthem? Is it a tune?
Yeah, it's a bop.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite good, yeah.
I would respect that, then, to be fair.
Yeah.
There's also the Copa America final.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 2 p.m., 2 a.m. or something.
I think it's 1 a.m.
Yeah, any of that at all?
The last weekend, I was sleeping really badly and I couldn't sleep and it was the middle of the night. And then I remembered it was on. So I watched the game. It was Argentina against Ecuador. Copa America is fucking brutal. They just, within the first 10 minutes of watching, I didn't know whether I was dreaming because I was in the middle of the night. Literally, there could have been like 3 red cards that were clear and obvious in my mind. 2 of them didn't get given as fouls. But the other one, he gave it as a free kick and gave a yellow. Like, literally elbows, 2 fitted challenges, like, shin high.
I saw it.
It's just so chaotic. And then, like, players keep calling for cards and stuff, and they have to almost go down to protect themselves. When it's just madness. But I think it's a Brazil-Argentina final, so I think it'll be maybe a bit calmer. But even watching it, I was thinking, like, all the players play in Europe anyway, and they don't act this way in the European club. So what exactly is it about the tournament? I think the referees don't help because they don't give them. So then there's, like, you have to go out as hard as anything, otherwise you just get hurt. I think it's just like what football must have been like in like the 70s and 80s, you know, when everyone says like it's soft now.
Yeah.
I think they just still do that for this tournament.
That's funny.
I saw a clip of Messi's ankles from the semi-final. They're just blood all over them, which is just crazy.
He's got bloodied ankles.
Yeah, yeah. He just got hacked to pieces.
Jesus.
But also he was like, I saw some... Because they won on penalties, I think. And then he's just, like, hurling abuse at the other players, like, swearing at them so much. So I guess, like, he's just been kicked to pieces, but they all seem to go another level of aggression, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mad.
Is that tonight, that, then?
Hmm.
Okay. You can tweet us at Pilot Pundits. Do you watch the Copa America in the middle of the night when you can't sleep?
Wait, you might have an international audience here. So, do you watch the Copa America because it's the middle of the day and you're just in
America?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Do we have an international audience? By the way, our last episode, 20 views, 1 comment.
Oh, I'm excited.
Now, don't get too excited because insane track. In air, I think that's our first name. As in first name in air, second name plane repair. Insane track in air. You should Google bullet track by so and so. I think this person.
I'm gonna hazard a guess and say he didn't listen.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a track. It's 1 hour long.
What are you talking about? Our first album.
We did have a few likes though on the last pod. Joe Cade Maynard liked it. JP Offerman and Mike J Hodge 3. So you know, it's going well. Oh yeah, but do we have any listeners in? Look at this, 42 listens in Columbus.
Where is that?
Columbus, USA. What do you know?
Maybe some of your old...
That must
friends,
be the legacy I left behind. Yeah.
Well, if you're listening to us in Columbus, tweet us at Pilot Pundits.
They'll be watching the South American stuff.
We've got 2 German listeners from Frankfurt.
Three.
Boom.
2-0.
Yeah. In fact, we're very popular in the United States, would you believe?
Well, if one guy's listened to it 42 times.
Well, I don't know if it's one guy.
Right.
It could be 42 different people.
42 different bots, who knows?
Yeah. In fact, you know, we didn't really mention it when it was our 40th anniversary episode. But we're now on episode 42. And it's pretty much, well, our first episode was... Oh, it doesn't tell you what day it was posted on. It just says 3 years ago. It was pretty much 3 years to the day the other day. And just, you know, what a moment.
What a journey it's been.
What a journey, yeah.
Mm. Anyone got a favourite pod?
Oh, wow.
Hard to say. Hard to remember them.
Good. You know, when... You know, it was the World Cup, the first time it was coming home.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty good. I seem to remember during that World Cup, we actually recorded a whole pod and actually did it again the next day because we didn't record it.
Yes.
Forgot to press record.
You know, England's success rate and our pod go absolutely hand in hand.
That they do. Well, as we know, correlation is causation. I like some of the Christmas episodes we did. I thought they had quite a good vibe.
I liked that one where there was a quiz and Luke had looked up the answer to that Christmas question.
Well, it didn't actually come up, the question. I tried to anticipate.
Did a bit of research. Well, here's to the next 42 more. Anyway, they're not quite as frequent as they used to be.
Are they this compared to the last one? A week or so?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's very, very impressive for us.
Our fans will be very impressed. Yeah. So no gossip then, really. No gossip.
I did see some good stuff today. Apparently, you know, Messi's contract's up.
Oh yeah.
And his previous contract was like millions and millions, just mad money. Apparently a lot of the other clubs in La Liga some of them are saying they're willing to contribute towards another contract to keep him in the league.
Keep him in La Liga.
Oh my god.
Because it's good for the league.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Which, if it's true, gossip, of course, but...
Huge gossip.
How do you feel about them, if that is true, the other clubs?
I think it's ridiculous. You're deliberately making it harder for yourselves. You're paying another club. I just think ethically there's all kinds of issues.
Do you make it easier for yourself because... Messi equals revenue, TV money coming to you. You can buy a player maybe with that TV.
That's the point. I guess TV money in Spain is really dodgy in terms of, I think, how it's worked out. So the ones that get bottom barely get anything.
Okay.
So maybe they are calculating that him being there gets them more money.
You play two games against Messi a season, you lose them 2-0, who cares?
But they'll be televised. I'll get a global audience.
You've got a new right back. You've got a new right back, you know. Like, yeah.
And you left back to Mark Messi in those games.
Exactly. That's bonkers. You couldn't imagine that happening. Like Brighton paying Man City to get Messi in the...
No, but then I think...
That will actually happen, surely.
Is that just some shady shit?
They're not solid sources, but it is going around quite a bit. So I can't imagine it actually happening.
Well, because presumably the other big clubs wouldn't, anyone with a chance of Champions League is not going to do that.
Yeah.
So then presumably it's the smaller clubs.
Mid-table teams or, yeah.
Yeah.
Smaller.
Maybe they just want a piece of Messi, you know? We own 10% of Messi.
Yeah.
That's strange. How do we feel about the bank holiday if we win? Does it? Is that?
Are they going to do it though? I thought it was too late notice now.
Oh, is it?
I thought so.
Yeah, I thought I heard it wasn't going to happen. Remember, actually, we were in Portugal when Portugal won. Obviously, there's another thing. Whichever country we're in at the time that's also hosting the Euros wins the Euros. I remember we were saying at the time, this is the only time we'll ever get to be in a country winning a competition. How wrong we were.
Yeah. Well, we've had a little taste of what it could be like.
I mean, hasn't happened yet. But yeah.
Do you remember, like, it was just like taxis driving around, beeping horns, women like leaning out of a window, banging a pan, that sort of thing. You think that would happen here?
Harley Road was a little bit like that. Like, loads of people clearly just went for a drive afterwards, just honking horns.
Yeah,
it's quite cool.
I'm working tomorrow night. I start work at 10.
So you're going to get tons of calls
afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards.
It is going to be carnage. What I can't quite understand is it going to be worse if we lose or worse if we win?
I don't know if it'll make a difference, won't it? Just maybe win more people on the streets, but people just drunk from the game, aren't they?
Because it will be more anarchy if we win out on the streets, crazy celebration. That's people will like start damaging stuff. But then there's all the horrible statistics on there about like domestic violence and stuff when they lose.
So, but alcohol's the main problem, isn't it?
I think it goes up when they play domestic violence, but it's worse if you lose.
Worse if you lose. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's one reason to bring it home anyway. Jesus Christ.
Well, it's probably the same story in Italy, though. That's the only problem.
Oh, yeah, it's literally, yeah, you can't really win. Yeah, it is going to be mental. So I think I'll watch the first half here and then go to work. But
nice.
God.
And are you going to have screens up in the
office? We have screens up. But I imagine we're pretty dead during the game itself. But. Oh, I get very nervous.
I always think I'm fine, and then like the whistle blows, and I'm just a sack of nerves.
Yeah. Like I think there was that 15-minute period in the first half where you thought, "Hang on a second, this game is sort of coming like going away from us here."
Yeah,
that was quite horrible. That was like it felt like the old days.
I'm hoping that. Just being in a final seems good enough that, I don't know, I'm sure this won't be the case when the game's going on, but that losing won't feel as bad as a normal England loss because I feel like we've kind of done well, you know? But
it does feel like then a whole different culture, isn't it?
Yeah, and because it's such a young team as well, which is another cool thing that you feel like they'll be better in a year or better in 2 years.
Yeah, there's no shame in losing the final.
In the World Cup, it didn't going out in the semis. It wasn't as bad as other losses. I
didn't. Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
It was still a very stressful game to watch, though.
Where did we watch that?
I think I remember watching that. We watched one game at Henry's.
I was going to say Henry's. But we went to a few different houses, didn't we?
So, Jasper, how was the fan zone you were in last time?
I didn't like it that much, personally. Everyone was absolutely hammered. Basically, they had these tables. There were barely any security. And then if people stood up, you couldn't see, so you had to stand up. They were trying to get everyone to sit down, I think, probably for COVID reasons. But no one was doing it. And obviously they started, everyone would just chant, "Stand up if you love England." And then everyone would stand up. And then at one point, actually, some fans were annoyed that people were standing up. So they started chanting, "Stand up if you love Scotland." So everyone's sat down apart from one guy who's clearly started to, who just turning around, giving everyone the finger while they were like booing him. So there were some good parts. But people weren't really watching the game and you couldn't get the tension. There was just a lot of drunk idiots, to be honest. It was quite fun at the end and when everyone had done it, but it was just strange for me. It was like, because it wasn't like going to a game at all, which obviously is good. You get the atmosphere in it, you get to watch the game. This just felt like people were desperate to like build this sort of atmosphere, but when even like watching the game,
maybe you needed a bigger screen then, because I can imagine for the tension you need to be fully submerged.
Yeah, I think we were quite far back. I think if you were close, the people at the front were actually just watching, so they weren't like. It's like the opposite to football, you know. The ultras would be at the front, wouldn't they? Normally,
yeah.
The ultras are at the back here, and I was caught up with the ultras.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Anyone listening, I'd say, yeah, don't go.
If unless you got a ticket, then you're probably one of the lucky.
How do you get the tickets for the game? Is it just a lottery?
Yeah, I think they've been doing these through like ballot for these bigger ones, and like hundreds of thousands of people literally apply. And you get like a table, I think, for six or eight of you. It definitely wasn't COVID secure as well. These tables weren't separated in any way. The other fucking dumb thing, yeah, I haven't mentioned this. They were selling beer in cans. They were selling like four packs of cans. Obviously, when people celebrate, everyone lobs their drink. So people start with, you had plastic glasses, but then people started lobbing cans in the air.
That's bullshit.
And I saw several people needed to go to the ambulance. There was an ambulance at the back because their head had literally just cut open from cans. It was like, what is going on here? This is stupid.
Well, what's the venue you went to then?
It was like a Richmond. It seems like a really
Richmond fan club. Fan Park, if you're listening, you know,
pour the drinks out.
Not good enough.
But that must have happened every game.
Yeah,
serving cans.
Exactly. That's what I don't get. I think apparently this one was like really unprofessional. It was like set up at the end of the group stages when they could kind of see there was a market for it. And then they originally, apparently, like the screen wasn't even up in the air. It was like huge big screen, but just like on the ground. So like, everyone had to stand up to see it. I think it was just, yeah, randomly set up.
I think a lot of them are quite last minute, I think.
We had a bit of a problem in the pub in Marston where we were sat in the garden and I was going through iPlayer. And then then in this main pub, I think they must have been going through live TV.
Oh, no.
And it was like 30 seconds ahead.
Yeah, so you hear the cheer,
and then you're like, oh, okay. And there's no attention for the goal. I don't know. It's just a bit weird.
That's bollocks.
They resurrected it by the second half. Maybe they're both an iPlayer. They like refreshed and I don't know.
But got to get. Yeah, iPlayer is shockingly behind.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why. Luke, you got any theories there as to why iPlayer is behind?
Yeah, Luke, any theories?
I don't know why it would be behind.
It's literally like a minute and a half.
Yeah, it must be putting it online. Must just take longer than
I guess,
it over the radio waves.
Okay, well, you can tweet us that part of the pundits. Why is iPlayer behind? Do we have anything more to discuss? Is it dinner time?
It is. Is the game on BBC and ITV?
It's on both. Oh, like yeah, I was going to... I forgot my moment of the tournament thing. Who has been your pundit of the tournament?
Oh, Mika Richards. I've been enjoying him. Although he hasn't got the big gigs, but he was a lot of fun.
He is good entertainment.
He's fun.
I really like the woman on ITV, the Chelsea boss.
Emma Hayes.
Because she actually has been a manager, she has insightful comments to make. Unlike
managers make the best pundits,
I think. Danny Murphy, his analysis is like, terrible, terrible penalty, good penalty, terrible penalty.
But also, he doesn't even sound enthusiastic. Like, you can get a... Because Mike Richards doesn't say anything that interesting, really, but he's... Yeah. Got the personality to bring it forward. Danny Mills is nothing.
Well, and you get like what you get him on like the doing the analysis on the Spain game, and he's like said, "Well, Spain, you know, they're not playing well," and you just kind of think, I don't know, what did Danny Murphy play for England?
Maybe a little bit.
Like
not that well.
You feel like he's not. What qualifications does he have to discuss the Spanish national team? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't get why they're picking.
It's bizarre.
I also found Graeme Souness very annoying, not only because of the Scotland game, just in general, I think he's pretty terrible.
Yeah, he just moans, doesn't he? So aggressive.
Yeah.
Luke, any favourites for you? Roy Keane? Roy Keane's one of my favourites.
I've quite liked Ian Wright. He's been...
Yeah, it's a good chat.
...in a good time. Yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah.
Wears his heart on his sleeve, Ian, right?
Yeah.
He can barely contain himself.
Very emotional.
Yeah. And he always says that, I feel for them. I really feel for them.
Yeah.
He's always feeling for everybody. All right, fine. Yeah.
I was just saying, because Gary Neville called out Boris and everyone, didn't he, after the game as well?
Oh, lack of leaders in the country.
Yeah.
Lack of leaders.
This football team's brought us together.
Yeah. Surely Gary is going to get into politics in a few years. He's setting himself up.
He is.
With the whole European Super League and now this. He's perfectly positioned.
Be awful. Okay, well, let's wrap this up and say thank you and goodbye. And it's coming home to at the J Doggy Dog.
Thank you and goodbye, and it's coming home to you as well.
And let's say thank you and goodbye, and it's coming home to Jasper.
Thank you and goodbye, and it's coming home to you too.
And let's say thank you and goodbye, and it's coming home to Luke Stamper.
Thank you and goodbye, and it's coming home.
And it's thank you and goodbye, and it's coming home from me. Thank you and goodbye, and it's coming home.